I invite you to open your Bibles this evening to Joshua chapter 23. We're going to have a few things from Joshua 23 before we get into our text of Joshua chapter 24. It was in Joshua's old age, as he knew that his time was drawing near, that he gave a farewell address to the people of Israel, specifically representatives of the tribes of Israel. And he reminded them of just how good the Lord had been to them, how he had fought their enemies, and he had given Israel the land of their enemies. Joshua, in this farewell address, encouraged the people to remember their own service to God and the blessings that he had given to them. Pick up in Joshua chapter 23, beginning in verse 6. "Be very firm, then, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day." God had been with Israel. God had made many promises to them and kept every one of them. And in so doing, Joshua just wanted to remind the people of God that God would be with them. God would provide for them. But if they chose to disobey God, he would keep his promises in that regard as well. Joshua 23, verse 16. "It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you, when you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given to you." Joshua told the people that they were to obey God, and in obeying God, they would continue to be blessed. But if they disobey God, they would suffer. God has always been one to take care of his people, fulfilling their needs. Yes, we may struggle with having the extras. We may struggle with having the luxuries. But when it comes to our real needs, God always provides. The Israelites needed to be reminded of just how good the Lord had been to them. Notice with me what God had caused to happen in favor of Israel as Joshua reviewed them, beginning in Joshua chapter 24. Verse number 1, he said, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel and for the heads of their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterwards I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you. and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zipporah, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you, but I was not willing to listen to Balaam. So he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Havites and the Jebusites. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. God had truly blessed Israel. And in blessing Israel, Joshua simply reminded them. And in bringing all of these proofs before the people, Joshua called upon them on that day to make a decision. Make a decision which he himself had already made, and thus leading by example, he asked, beginning in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." A passage very familiar to us. And so tonight I want us to consider it. But I want us to consider it in a way as I bring attention to you the things that Joshua did not say, and things for which I am very thankful and glad he did not say. In the first case, I am thankful that Joshua did not say, "My family will serve the Lord without me." Notice Joshua did not say, "My family will serve the Lord without me." Friends, we know, and you know, of so many wives and children who serve God without their fathers. I'm thinking personally of the little boys and the little girls who may attend Bible camp somewhere this summer. And as they are involved in a week-long activity of camp, they will pour out their hearts. They will pour out their hearts to their counselor, and they will tell of their desire for their father to go with them to church. They will tell their counselors in late night devotionals how they wish and they long for their fathers to be involved in the church activities which they are a part of. I'm thinking about the little children who attend the worship of the church only when they can, because the only time that they are able to assemble with the church is when they're visiting and staying overnight with friends, or visiting and staying overnight with other family members. You know of some mothers and or children who do all they can to serve the Lord, though their father does not. And thus it is important what Joshua had to say in leading his family. Fathers should be the spiritual leaders in the home, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Fathers have an obligation to their families and an obligation to God to set the spiritual tone for their home. As a father, we must study the Scriptures to know them, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We must bring our children up in the Scriptures, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And we're to lead them by example, Matthew 5 and verse 16. As a father, we must teach our family about God and His way, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I am thankful that Joshua did not say, my family will serve the Lord without me. And it is our prayer today that God will give us faithful fathers who will lead their families in knowing the Lord. I am thankful that Joshua did not say, I will serve the Lord without my family. Sadly, some fathers must serve the Lord on their own because they have wives who refuse to follow their godly leading. Many children choose not to follow the Lord because they are torn. Do I serve the Lord with dad? Do I serve the Lord with mom? Who is right? Who is wrong? Is anyone right? Is anyone wrong? Mom doesn't go, or she doesn't go as she should. Dad doesn't go, or he doesn't go as he should. And what am I going to do? Then after the formidable years have passed and the teen years set in, the years of rebellion against authority in general take hold of these young teens and young minds, and they choose not to serve at all, leaving mom and or dad to serve alone. Fathers have the duty to bring up their children in the ways of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. A request, a command that was expected of Abraham when God called him. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 19. For I have chosen him, chosen Abraham, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. A command that was continued and given to Israel in very similar wording as that passage that we looked at earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 11, but this command is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, and it's the more familiar reading. These words which I am commanding to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your foreheads. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You're to make it ever so readily available to them, that they not only see it, but they hear it, and they see you living it. Fathers are to provide the kind of leadership within the home and within the family that Joshua led his family in. Joshua 24 and verse 15. It's sad to say that you and I know of some fathers and or some mothers who are serving the Lord. They are doing so without their spouse. They are doing so without their children. I am thankful that Joshua did not say, I will serve the Lord without my family. Fathers, we must maintain faithfulness, and one day we will win families to Christ. I am thankful this evening also that Joshua did not say, my family and I will not serve the Lord. Entire families will be lost eternally because they refuse to serve the Lord. And I cannot help but think that the greater punishment will come upon those fathers who have the duty of leading the home in the way that it should go, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, when the entire family will not serve because the father does not take his leadership role seriously. The world has far too many men that do not fulfill their responsibility to God. which in many cases has led men not to fulfill their responsibilities to their spouses and to their children. The Bible tells us of men that we definitely do not need more of. Men like Lot in his situation in Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse number 10. As Lot there was choosing which land to possess and which land to inhabit, Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar, so Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed eastward, thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. We have fathers who for whatever reason choose to live as close to sin as they possibly can. They choose to allow their families to take part in wickedness, allowing them to do so and to get as near to sin as possible without actually being sinful. Genesis chapters 18 and 19 tell of how the worst of the Canaanites, the infamous evil people, populated Sodom. And it is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing good will come of it. Don't park your tent near Sodom. Don't park your family near sin and expect them not to become involved in it and not to mix and mingle with it. Eli was one who was very permissive. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12, we find that it was said his sons were corrupt. Literally, they were sons of Belial because they did not know the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22, Eli's sons were said to be laying with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 25, Eli's sons took the best of the offerings which the people brought before the Lord, and they kept them for themselves and took what was left of those offerings to give to God. Verse 29, Eli honored his sons more than he honored God. And based upon the text that we have, Eli never did restrain or rebuke his sons in a way to set things right and to correct their thinking. Therefore, his descendants would not serve as priests. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse number 10. Then the Lord came and stood and called out as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Do not allow them to go into sin and continue in sin without making an attempt to correct them. Fathers, we must not be so overbearing as to discourage our children either. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. This does not mean, however, that discipline does not take place. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 through 11. Thus, we do not need to follow after those who would say, "I nor my family will serve the Lord." Rather, we should follow the teaching of Joshua, the decision which he made that he and his household would serve the Lord. May God give us Christian homes. Homes where God is served by the mother, by the children, and the father. Homes that fall in line with Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Tonight, if we were to ask for a show of hands or for an agreement from all, who would join with Joshua? Who would join his charge? Surely there would be many, just as there was on that day. Joshua 24, verse 16, the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is who has brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we have passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." They recognized all the blessings that Joshua reminded them of. They recognized those blessings. They remembered them. And based upon them, they chose that day to follow God. But then they would fall away. You know the history of Israel. How that she would serve God for a while, and then things, as they would get seemingly to be too good, God was providing for them, providing their needs, doing all that He could for them. They would then turn away from Him. They would turn away from Him to follow after their own pursuits, to do the things that they wanted to do, and thereby God would have to provoke His punishment upon them. With the coming of punishment, they would recall the better days and return to God to seek after those better days. So it may be tonight that there are some fathers who have sought the way of the Lord, but as things got better in their life, they began to reach and accomplish the goals which they had set for themselves. And things become as the world defines success. They were torn away from God to seek after those fleeting pleasures. This being Father's Day, every father ought to know that it is one of the greatest responsibilities to be a father and to be responsible for leading his family in the decision to follow God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we've mentioned it several times tonight. We need to go there before we close. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 23. As Paul writes there concerning the home, concerning being like Christ and the church and how marriage is much like it. He began in verse 22 by saying, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." Then he turns attention, verse 23, to the husbands. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as for the church," or as the church is subject to Christ, "so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." Husbands are given the responsibility to lead, to guide, to protect, to provide for, and to love their wives just as Christ has set them the example in His love for the church. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives." He just comes out and says it quite plainly. "Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word." verse 27, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Husbands are to be willing to give their life for their wife and for their children, just as Christ set the example. Verses 28 through 30. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of His body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Just as man protects himself and provides for himself and loves himself, so he is to care for his wife and his children in the same way, Christ again being the example. Verse 31 through 33. Again, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and to the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Man is to leave the care and the government of his parents and to be joined to his wife, become one team, one flesh, together serving the Lord. The gospel, or the couple that is led by God's Word, is to teach their children to serve God, so that the children might fulfill what is commanded of them. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And when the children are not obedient to their parents and have no respect for them, we must call into question, have they been taught in the home? God has commanded, Ephesians chapter 5, so that they can fulfill what is commanded of them. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Have you made the decision to follow God? Have you made the decision to follow God as a father and to teach your spouse to follow God? Have you taught your children to follow God? Have you taught your children to follow God even when they have rebelled against you, rather than giving up and saying, it's up to them, it's their choice, I must let them decide? Eli did that. We've already received his strong warning. Is your whole family serving God? Fathers, we need to be teaching our children, teaching our families, that Jesus died on the cross so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and insight. We need to be teaching our families they can be forgiven. They can be forgiven when they sin. They can be forgiven. And we as fathers need to be on the forefront in teaching our spouse and teaching our children the love and the mercy and the grace which our Heavenly Father has toward us all. Our sins can be cleansed by His blood when we respond in trusting obedience, believing and trusting in Him. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. When we turn from our sins in repentance. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. Confessing Him before men. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And are baptized, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Fathers, if there's anyone in the home who needs to be at the forefront of teaching our families these truths, it is us. We also need to be reminding them that as we continue to walk in the light of His Word, 1 John 1 verse 7, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and He will continually cleanse us. There are fathers who have given their life to Christ but are not living like it. Those fathers are setting the wrong example for their families, the wrong example for the world. And so we stand before you tonight and we encourage you to live up to what Joshua said. And we're asking you tonight, in closing, you as a father, can you say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Not that the family will serve without you, not that you will serve without your family, not that none of you will serve, but that you and your household will serve the Lord. Tonight, if there is a need of yours in coming to Christ, to have your sins washed away, to put Him on in baptism, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've not fulfilled your responsibility as a father, we would encourage you to make things right tonight. Mothers, wives, children, we encourage you to encourage your father. Encourage him to do what is right. Stand behind him, stand beside him, and encourage him tonight. There is a need of yours to come. The invitation has been extended by our Lord. It's a convenient time as we stand and as we sing.